Hey friends, today we're going to discern the devil's playbook, talk a little bit about the media and more with Pastor Matthew Mayer. He's also an author and he's at Landmark Church in Ocean City, New Jersey. Also the founder of Truth Over Trend. That's coming up next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic, off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Well, friends, I want you to look up this book. We did a podcast with Matthew Mayer last year on this phenomenal short book, Discerning the Devil's Playbook. And we're going to talk a little bit about one of the plays currently going on in America. We talked about in detail the last time we had him on, so we're not going to rehash all that, but there's something going on very important that you guys need to discern, and that is where we get truth and information outside of the Bible and Scripture, because we do need to be informed to keep up with what's going on to some degree, not be overwhelmed by it, but keep up with things and know how to pray, know how to vote, know how to approach our culture and respond to the lies. And we're going to talk about the media in just a minute. But I'm going to bring on my brother, Matthew. Good to see you. And how are things going in New Jersey?
David, thank you so much for the honor and being back on your show. Congratulations to you with your viewership and your platform growing. I'm following from a distance in New Jersey. It's very cold here now.
Here too.
But the summer is coming.
Yeah, amen, brother. So we are going to get into some key points I wanted to go over again in your book. And you also, at the end of the podcast, we'll give you a minute to talk about your brand new book, Hindsight 2020. It sounds amazing. I wrote about, life has changed. Life was very different BC, before COVID. A lot has changed.
Right.
But and when is that coming out? Do you have a date?
I don't have a date. I'm working relentlessly on it. There's some other chapters that are unfolding before our very eyes, as you can imagine, with the new cycle. The Bible is coming to life, so in due time.
Okay, so we'll mention that a little bit more in detail, what the book's about at the very end. But I want to share your story. Since we've had you on, we have been blessed because of God and people sharing the podcast. It's all I can say, you know, prayers, support, but it's getting out there. We got a team working behind the scenes now. Really, the numbers are growing, but they don't know your story, and you have an amazing and powerful testimony. And as I said before we got on here, God's using you, brother. So you were a professional soccer player. You grew up in a Christian home. Then you had a little accident, not a little accident, a life-altering accident, and you ended up in prison, and you somehow miraculously, in most of our eyes, you got out early, and you're a pastor, and God's using you. Go back to what led to the accident, and then what happened, please.
Yes, I'll begin with Psalm 107:2. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those who have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy." That's a testimony. Mm-hmm. Testimony is the language of redemption. I was raised in a strong Christian household, as you already prefaced. And my mother and father did a fabulous job raising me and my three older brothers in the Lord, in church, of course, but in the Lord by demonstrating what faith looked like. So I believe they laid that foundation of faith beneath my feet, train up a child in the way they should go so that when they're older, they will not depart from it. But along the way, as Jesus warned, he said, if you build your house upon rock, storms come and hit that house and it will stand. But if you build your house upon the sand, same storms of life come and hit upon that house, and great is its fall. I like to combine both those foundations because I believe there was rock beneath my feet, but I began to build a sandcastle. Mm-hmm. And the sandcastle was beautiful to behold. People loved looking at it. They celebrated my life, the accolades, the accomplishments, celebrated through high school, then full scholarship to Temple University in Philadelphia, repeating that cycle of excelling, eventually being drafted as a first-round draft pick, as you've already said, to play professional soccer, following in the footsteps of one of my older brothers. So you better believe the community was celebrating us. My family was excited. Two sons playing professional soccer on the same team my rookie season. But here's where the pivot comes in. I began to believe my own hype. Pride goes before destruction. So my life may have been on the rise, but the elevation was pride. And of course, I lived for the world's approval. And I went out and about whenever there was margin, was 21 years of age, began to drink, not heavily, but just enough. And the saying goes, sin will take you further than you ever wanted to stray. Sin will keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And sin will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. And on March 7th, which is approaching 2009, I made my way to Atlantic City from Philadelphia after engaging in several alcoholic beverages and ended up rear-ending another vehicle on the Atlantic City Expressway. So needless to say, the following day, as my life came crashing down and somebody else's life ended, being attached to another family, and you find out along the way, weeks and months go by, who this family is. And I cannot express enough, David, the emotional anguish and guilt and shame that I experienced. But that pales in comparison to the pain and the anger that I caused another family. Mm-hmm. If you fast forward 10 months from March 7th, 2009 to January 7th, 2010, on my sentencing day, I was sentenced to 5.5 years in state prison. But it was on my sentencing day where my victim's son, Mr. Hortcap's son, his name was Noon, extended a hand and hug of forgiveness. And this is what revolutionized my life. It became the catalyst to true freedom. Wow. Before I would spend a single second as an inmate of the state for the next 5 years of my life, I was set free by forgiveness. And what dawned on me was that was a picture of the gospel, that everyone will stand before a God who is judge. And not a single good work on that day will be enough to get us out of the punishment and consequence that we deserve.
Amen.
Not a lawyer who can articulate God's law can get us out of the penalty and punishment from our sin that we deserve. The only thing that can give us freedom and forgiveness and exonerate us is the Son of God. When Jesus steps into that courtroom and takes upon himself what we deserve, that's the Bible. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love in that while we're in our sin, jacked up, messed up, far from God, that is when Christ came and died for us. That set me free. David, I went to prison a man on fire. Wow. I am a pastor today, and I like to say that prison for me was a cemetery that God turned into a seminary. A cemetery because it was the place of the dead, dead men walking without life. And yet in that place, God got my undivided attention. The sandcastle came crashing down and he began to build my life back up upon the foundation of his son, Jesus Christ. And it became a seminary where I learned about God's word in a very intimate and real way. It came to life. And little did I know that he gave me a gift to communicate and to teach. So I say, yes, if the Lord calls you to seminary, go that way. But a seminary without Jesus becomes a cemetery, and a cemetery with Jesus becomes a seminary. I got out on August 3rd, 2014, 55 months later, and the rest has been redemptive history.
Wow.
Not only that, I'm a father of two precious children. My daughter, Willow, will turn 6 in May. My son, Ezekiel, will turn 4 on March 7th. March 7th was that date,
oh my goodness,
that fatal, fateful date that my hands were responsible for taking life. 12 years to the day, March 7th, 2021, God ordained that day, that exact day, David, for my hands to receive life. So my son's birthday was actually Mr. Hortcap's death day. And I don't say that lightly. In fact, I don't say that to erase his memory because it's bittersweet. I still remember the pain of what I caused, but I see God's redemptive hand and power through a life that is willing to surrender. That's beauty from ashes. That's what the Bible says God does.
It's so powerful, brother. Before we get into a little bit more where you're at now, what your ministry, and I wanted to ask you about your church, Landmark Church, Ocean City, right? Landmark Church. There
yes,
it
sir.
Is. Go back briefly. I don't want to spend too much time here because we did that in the first podcast we had with you. But I think there was a moment where did you actually hear something when you were arrested or in the police car or some maybe in wherever you were, come over the speaker that you were hearing that the other man in the other car that you hit was deceased, and you didn't know that until you heard that. Is that true? Is that accurate?
That is accurate. I did not know. They obviously arrived on the accident scene rather quickly. So they detained me, and I had a passenger with me. He was fine. We were shook up, obviously. I remember seeing the vehicle I struck and even assumed the four individuals that I saw standing outside of that vehicle were the passengers and the driver. So when they took me to the police station and put me in a holding cell, I, of course, was going through the chronological buildup of what just happened, and even some thoughts that reminded myself about this particular failure. My father was in law enforcement. He's going to be disappointed. I was currently recovering from a ACL and meniscus tear 6 days earlier in the last pro soccer game I would ever play. So I'm thinking about the surgery that would occur the following week. And I'm thinking, man, what a bad week. How am I going to recover from this? I'm going to get a DUI. I'm not thinking that anyone's hurt, let alone died, until I overheard the dispatch center. And I couldn't see them, but I could hear them. And those are the words I will never forget. They said, accident on the Atlantic City Expressway is currently being cleaned up. The driver in the black Escalade is in custody. That was me. The driver in the Town and Country is deceased. And it was that one word that put me into a state of denial and shock. And of course, the next day, the officers, they confirmed that what I heard was true. And from that day forward, there was no posture except for brokenness, humiliation. And as my father raised me to be a man of accountability, own even the worst of your mistakes, own them. Don't blame shift. Don't make excuses. Own them. Bring confession to God who forgives, and seek forgiveness from the people or the person that you sinned against. And that was my journey from that day, March 7th to January 7th and that court day, which I believe you guys have showed in the past podcast, the courtroom scene of the son forgiving me.
So that was the first show we did with Matthew. So we're going to get into the devil's playbook when we come back from our break. But before we do that, the website for your podcast, Rechurched, is it thelandmark.church? Is that right?
That's right. The landmark.church is our church website, and certainly where they will find any other media, sermons, or even the Rechurched podcast.
So you host it with Ethan Hoover, at least according to the website. You co-host. How often do you do it? And people, I guess, can also listen on Spotify and Apple.
Yeah, we just got done season three, which highlighted and teased out discerning the devil's playbook. So season one was more or less about the false gospels that are out there and how to discern the true gospel. Season two looked at church history and attempted to close the gap between church history and church biblically. Because a lot of people's contention with Christianity is church history that wasn't necessarily the true invisible church moving slowly but surely forward with the gospel. And they'll say, look, Christianity and religion has caused so much pain and bloodshed. And it's like, no, that wasn't the true church. That's just church history as we read it. Let's get back to church biblically and follow the true church. We did that in season two.
Awesome, brother. So friends can also connect with him, see his beautiful family on Facebook. But his main website, truthovertrend.com. That's truthovertrend.com. We'll be right back with Pastor Matthew Mayer on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Hey, friends, thanks to God. Thank you. Praise Jesus. But also to your sharing the podcast and some people that know what they're doing behind the scenes here working on it. We're getting out there and the episodes are surging. We're now at about averaging about 250,000 podcast downloads. I don't get it, but this is what they're telling me and I have to believe them. Views are going well. And so if whatever you're doing out there praying for us, some of you can support us financially. Thank you. God bless you. I mean that. We couldn't do this without you. And we're just so blessed. We've got some new guests coming up and some improvements to the podcast we're working on and even in the studio here, but that's to be continued. Oh, there we go. Thanks for that reminder. New YouTube channel, World View Matters. David Fiorazzo. That's on YouTube, Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo. We weren't on in the beginning because I tackle some controversial topics, and particularly COVID and other things where I've been deleted, violating community standards. I was a bad boy on YouTube and others, but they haven't deleted my personal channel yet. But then we decided here to let's just put it out there, Worldview Matters, and see how it goes. And not that I'm backing off from addressing anything, but I'm a little more sensitive, and I'll just put it in a different way. People know what I'm talking about. So Matthew, your book, I want to talk about what we talked about last time, only focusing in on the media a little bit more and what's happening in America with the Marxist media. I used to call it media malpractice in America because they've long abandoned true principles of journalism, because I studied that.
That's right. Yes,
early on. You've got a couple of quotes in here, and then I'm going to go to the plays. I love John Wesley said, "What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I love that you put this quote in here as well. "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." And then this one that is somewhat mind-boggling, friends, and here's where we're going to camp out for the last 10 minutes here under controlling the news or narrative. Oh, let me go back. Let me go back to the four plays. First of all, contradict the truth. This is in the Devil's Playbook. This is what the left does, the Marxists, the globalists, the atheists, the socialists, the anti-American, anti-Semites, and you, whoever else you want to put on that list. One, number one, contradict the truth. Number two, control the news or narrative. We're coming back to that. Number three, create conflict to groups and nations. And number four, convert the youth. And you can talk about education quite a bit there. So let's go to this stat, and I'll let you take over, Matthew. Six corporations control 90% of the media outlets in America. None of them espouse a biblical worldview, but even worse, they are hostile to biblical Christianity. That is not an exaggeration. In fact, maybe even an understatement at this point. Translation, the Marxist mainstream media is lying to you. That's very profound. Unfortunately, it's true. And Matthew, you could have, I mean, you narrowed it down to four plays, right? In the Devil's Playbook. There's a lot more, but these are four big ones. But what made you say, okay, we've got to talk about what the media does? Go ahead. I'm just going to let you just share whatever's on your heart right now.
Anytime I was covering spiritual warfare or teaching the church on the biblical importance of discerning the truth, these ideas kept coming to mind. I kept keeping notes on them. I kept writing little passages in the Bible under them and just connecting dots. And then one day it just dawned on me, you know what? I'm going to put these four plays out there. Obviously, if we look in our rear view, as the saying goes, there's a statement on your right rear view. What does it say? Objects in mirror are closer than they appear. That, of course, taking as an analogy, is a reference to history. And history, not heeded, not learned from, is history repeated. So it was Nazi Germany, ultimately, when you put a microscope on what happened there. How was it a slow fade that increased rapidly in those days? You see these plays unfold. First in Nazi Germany, and then you see the same template at play in America. And then you find the bearing of those four plays in the Bible. And you go, this is the same tactic the enemy runs. Contradict the truth. How do you get that type of lying out there? You need propaganda. Propaganda comes from the Latin word that we get propagate from, to plant. So these are seeds of doubt, seeds of confusion, seeds that bring forth fear, and they're widespread. And sadly, as the statement goes, people are sheeple who uncritically accept what's lethal or even receive the lies of Babel when, David, not shepherded by the Bible. So podcasts like yours and platforms that are presenting a biblical worldview, this is how I preach and teach. I believe there's plenty to choose from in today's media cycle. Yeah. And I tell my people all the time, listen, you don't even have to know the truth of what's happening, but if it's coming from a certain outlet, you should at least step back, and question the narrative.
Yes.
And then ask the Lord to give you discernment. So one of the ways that my people are being primed and conditioned to discern truth from lies today is, here it is. If the world and the spirit of the world, the spirit of the Antichrist, the majority, popular opinion, that which is political correct, if the world celebrates it or condones it, it is very likely that the spirit of the Lord condemns it. And vice versa. If the spirit of the Lord condones something and celebrates something, you better believe the spirit of the world is going to condemn it. And that is how you at least start. And when you hear all of the news and media attempting to alter the conscience and the realities of a nation, of a people, this is play number two at play. And it always leads to play three, bringing conflict to groups. That is why we are watching not the United States of America. We are watching the divided states of America. And God has given us, I think it needs to be said, a window of opportunity, a great reprieve. I call it a window of grace. The church should not take our foot off of the gas. We should be accelerating. And that's that's the danger. Oh. When a political power changes hands, we don't put our hope in any political leader. Absolutely not.
That's right.
But you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You just have to be a true Christian to discern when people in power are making policy and principle that are closely aligned with the Bible. You support it, and you seek to advance the kingdom of heaven on earth while God has given us the time.
Right.
On the other hand, when times are seemingly good, Christians and churches at large, they get comfortable. And when you get comfortable, you get complacent. And when you get complacent, the enemy takes more territory. And that is how we got into this mess in the first place.
Amen, brother. Speaking of rocket scientists... Let's talk about the headlines of what the media is saying about Trump and Elon Musk. So President Trump and Elon Musk, Musk working together, Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, right? They're finding all this fraud, billions, in fact, trillions in other places, but billions at least, that our tax dollars going over to the other countries, funding things that the Bible would consider immoral. Christian, if you don't have a problem with that, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I want to go to just two of them I jotted down. Just two of them be under this, how the media is, how did you word it with the media? Not contradicting the truth. How did you say it?
Control the news. Control the news.
So I have heard this during the whole Biden administration, the O'Biden administration. Climate change is an existential threat to the world. We've got to reduce the population. We've got to do all this, you know, carb, all this stuff that they're doing, putting nature or the world above human beings and those created in the image of God. So that's one. But let's go to today. What are Musk and Trump doing, they say? Well, Doge, it's a, quote, constitutional crisis. This is a constitutional crisis. Democracy is at stake, right? They're threatening to, and you're going, okay, this, and some outlets, you'll see some conservative outlets, they'll play all these different clips from all kinds of different programs and the Communist News Network and others, in the alphabet soup, ABC, CBS, NBC, which are the mainstream media, but they still trumpet the same lies. This is a constitutional crisis, right? What they're doing. And I haven't heard a lot of those on the left, the Democrats, saying, hey, that's pretty good. They're finding some waste and fraud. They're going to save the taxpayers some money. They're attacking Trump and Musk. Your thoughts on that? Because that's what the media is putting out there.
Yeah. So we are currently witnessing a national exorcism. Literally, the past 4 years, that administration, the deep state, as it's called, which simply means there is Antichrist power in high places that is currently being eradicated with light shining upon the darkness. Yes. So when you are exposing such corruption, you know who is involved when you see them convulsing. And they're convulsing because they know very well they've been profiting from all of this corruption. So, and you love it. They always claim that it's affecting women and children, right? Children in some far-off nation is no longer going to be able to have a meal. And it's like the same people who are mutilating our children, the same people who are allowing biological males to enter into biological female spaces in sports, women, are now, they're being used as these straw mans. And it's like, no, it's great that God is choosing to use broken people like Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. He is not a pastor. He is not a professing Christian. He is not part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that right there is the indictment, David. The fact that God had to use a guy like Donald Trump and Elon Musk to make these changes, which all align, one, with our Constitution. We're not a democracy, and that is another attempt by the media when they put out there the democracy. The democracy is a consensus. Democracies quickly turn to tyrannies because the power or the majority rules. We are a constitutional republic. So first and foremost, they are governing within the confines of our constitutional republic, which was spurred on by Judeo-Christian values. So here's the indictment. That Donald Trump signs executive orders that are closely aligned to biblical principles, and this is more courage from the Oval Office and the president than most pulpits on a Sunday when pastors should be the ones that are talking about there's only two genders. It was the president that had to write an executive order. What I have on my desk here is the executive order from God. Thus says the Lord. So I don't need to ask permission to speak his word. And I think we need to be even more relentless, David, with the truth of God's word, because the media and the way they spin lies or half truths is causing such national, social psychosis. People, we call it Trump derangement syndrome. It's really just strong delusion. When you reject the truth, you give yourself over to lies.
All right, and that's what your new book is going to be a little bit about, Hindsight 2020. I want to read a brief sentence from that. But friends, I want to bring up Discerning the Devil's Playbook one last time and encourage you guys. It's 60 pages. That's 6-0. Buy a dozen of them. Buy a bunch of them. Give them out. Send them to people. Give them to people at your church. Give one to your pastor. I was about to shout a big amen right in the middle of your what you just shared, because a lot of pastors don't touch on some of this. They don't talk about this. Briefly, you say your new book it takes a bold and unflinching look at the watershed moments from 2020 and onward. It reveals how deception thrives when truth is denied. Brother, regardless of when that comes out, we got to have you on again in a couple months. And then whenever the book comes out, of course. Pastor Matthew Mayer, thanks for your time today. We appreciate your voice. God's using you, brother. May he continue in Jesus' name.
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Matthew. God bless you, friends. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.